Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Every field of study, every occupation has its big, grandiose $2 words that apply to no one else except those talking technically in that particular subject. For instance, talking to my brother about banking sometimes feels like a foreign language, and he has to rewind and teach me some of the basics first. And we call that talk jargon. Jargon is a specialized professional language that may not be easy for outsiders to understand. And I have come to learn that in theology, one such word is eschatology. It's a big word. But it's simply this. Boiled down, eschatology is the study of the end times as it relates to salvation, both present and not yet. In Jesus' ministry, he spoke of the kingdom of God, a vision of the end times where society would support the needs of everyone, a community of shalom where all would prosper. For Jesus, the kingdom of God is an eschatological vision because, in real ways, the kingdom was present on earth. But at the same time, it wasn't fully represented. It wasn't complete. Think about this. I invite you to think back to a movie you could not wait to come out in theaters. Perhaps you were anxious with anticipation, counting down the days, buying your ticket weeks in advance. Maybe it was the next movie in a series where you're still hanging off that cliffhanger from the previous movie. Maybe it was a movie of a beloved book, and you could not wait for the characters to come to life. Now, what was it like when you're at home just watching TV, and all of a sudden that movie trailer pops up on the screen? It's exciting, right? You're glued to every piece that they are willing to reveal, that they're willing to tease about the movie. And for serious moviegoers, and I'm looking at those who like The Mandalorian and things that have just come out, you may even scour YouTube looking at interviews, trying to get behind-the-scene footage. Now, it's not watching the movie itself, but it's a preview. It's a sample of what to come when you watch it. The eschatological vision of God's kingdom is just that. We experience pieces of God's inclusive community here on earth, but we know that that vision has yet to come to fruition for all people and for all creation. With God, this is the work, even the struggle of discipleship and the work of the church. God's kingdom is both present in what we do, but also not yet. It's a movie trailer, but not the entire movie. Matthew 5, famously known as the Beatitudes, is Jesus' inaugural address in the book of Matthew. You may recall in Luke, Jesus' first lesson is in his hometown where he preaches, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor and to let the oppressed go free." This inaugural address lays the foundation for all God will do through Jesus in the Luke narrative. In Matthew's account, Jesus doesn't begin by teaching or preaching, but he is on the move. Literally, he is getting his steps in for the day. He is going to Decapolis, then he heads to Jerusalem, then Judea, and then it says beyond the Jordan. Jesus is on the move, and what is he doing? He is curing all diseases, all those who are sick, and restoring people back to full community. Those who were sick no longer were forced to stay on the outskirts of town, but could be with their families. They could be equal participants in society again. In Matthew, Jesus first begins by living the vision of the kingdom on earth. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is when Jesus pauses and teaches his disciples about God. Who is God? And what does faithful Christ-like discipleship look like? And so, able to draw upon weeks and months of watching Jesus living it out, the disciples listen to the 9 Beatitudes. Each Beatitude begins with the Greek word makarios, usually translated blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. But that word blessed, makarios, has been misconstrued over the centuries. This morning there will be preachers who are preaching sermons about blessed as being God's reward for good behavior, a celebration instead of what Jesus is getting at. So it could be read, "Congratulations, poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of God." But that misses what Jesus is going for here. Jesus, we have to remember, didn't speak Greek, but spoke Hebrew, spoke from semantic languages. And most likely the word that he would have used was either barak or ashrei. Now, barak has more to do with worshiping, bowing down in that style, but ashrei can be translated blessed or happy are those who choose the right way. Ashrei, as it is used in Psalm 1, is about finding the right path. So a more helpful transition that fits Jesus' context of his teaching may be that you are on the right path when you are poor in spirit, when you mourn, when you're meek. You are on the right path when you are a peacemaker. It reveals who God is and the path of which God calls us to walk. It is the path the disciples had watched Christ walk up until then. But you may be wondering, really? Really, Pastor, I'm on the right path when I'm poor in spirit? Stay with me. If we look at the Beatitudes as faithful responses to all that life throws at us, knowing that the promises of God reveal themselves eschatologically, both here, now, and yet to be fully realized, hope abounds. Those who keep God at the center when they are poor in spirit keep the faith knowing that God's future promise of the kingdom of God will restore their spirit. They can rely on and have faith in the promises of God now and yet to come. So you are on the right path when you mourn, knowing that God is comforting you and will comfort you. You are on the right path when you are meek with little power, because God is giving you power and will empower you further. You are on the right path when you hunger and thirst for righteousness or living rightly by God, knowing that you are a child of God. You are on the right path when you are peacemakers, for when the work is hard and daunting, as we know today it is to be peacemakers, we're reminded that we are God's child. We have lit candles this morning in memory of those who have gone to live with God, who are now fully and mysteriously bound to the Creator of life and love. We call them saints, not because they were perfect, but because on earth they revealed the promises of God. They lived the kingdom in their time, and in so doing, gave us a preview of what it is to be fully held in God's arms, which is where they are today. We think of Martin Luther King Jr. as a saint, not because he was sinless, trust me, read his biographies, but because he lived a Christ-like vision of peace and justice for those who were meek. He sought to empower the marginalized. He lived the promises of God, not for his life, but for others. Now, was the kingdom fully established now and forever? No, of course not. If it were, we would not be seeing the horrific fear and lethal force too often used as a first resort against unarmed black bodies. But Martin Luther King Jr. helped establish what will one day be a society that is safe for all people, especially people of color, to be as they are and have equal opportunity and access to what they need. I realize the candles we lit this morning don't have the celebrity of a Martin Luther King Jr. or a Mother Teresa, but I don't think that matters to God, for whom each is blessed, for each is beloved and precious. But each flame loved someone. Each flame had known hardship and leaned on God for hope. Each flame had moments in life where they tried to make the world a better place. And this morning we honor all those who walked the right path. This morning we remember the lives of those that remember and reminded us to love, to laugh, and to give of ourselves in service to others. These are the saints of God, builders of the kingdom who are resting in the fullest promises of God's love. And in a little while, we will figuratively gather at the table. Not literally, but figuratively gather at the table before us, which is another preview of God's kingdom, where all are welcomed and all are nourished by God's grace. In the eating of the bread and drinking of the juice, Christ will be made known to us yet again, just like the disciples having lunch by the sea. That Easter promise continues. He lives. And we are reminded at the table that all those who have partaken or will partake in the meal will dine together with us, God's kingdom here on earth. Thanks be to God. Amen.